want to welcome all of you to this really interesting presentation. So we've all heard of Aira and Be My Eyes and other businesses that do visual interpretation. So now there's a new game in town called Visual AI. Visual Eyes. I'm sorry, Sean. Visual Eyes. And here to tell you about the company and their model, I want to introduce you all to Sean
Hello,
Welker.
everyone. Hopefully, you guys are doing well. It's a sunny afternoon here out in Michigan. I'm joining you from the east side of the states, but things are good, and I'm certainly happy to be here hanging out with y'all for your convention. Appreciate the invitation there, Guillermo. I also Sarah Harris was also kind of key as to making the introductions, and we actually had the pleasure of enjoying a lunch together down there in Anaheim when I was in California recently, attending CSUN and also the NFB California State Convention. So, the business name is Visual Eyes Access. And it's EYES, Visual Eyes Access. And we've only been up and running for just about 8, almost 9 months now. So we're still real new. So many of you probably haven't heard of us yet. But I personally have been in the accessibility and visual interpreting game for quite some time. So I don't know if any of you were users of Aira back in 2018 and 2019, but I was an agent back in those days. I went through two of those convention seasons, cut my teeth there as far as learning visual interpreting and all of the things that entail. It was after I left, though, that I really learned about digital accessibility and web accessibility. Unfortunately, after I left Aira, 2020 was right around the corner and it got me. So I ended up losing the job that I had left Aira for, unfortunately, but it was a blessing in disguise. The executive director at the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Sassy Outwater Wright, an amazing woman. She actually recruited me to come on board, go through a year-long apprenticeship program, learning about access technology and digital accessibility. And while I was there, she also informed me that we were being recruited, the organization was being recruited to join the Be My Eyes platform. And Be My Eyes, it was still fairly new at the time, but they were doing this thing called specialized help programs. Well, they didn't have anybody on staff that had the experience with visual interpreting that I did. So it's something that really wasn't intended to be part of my job description, but it just kind of fell into my lap. And we ran a program there that was completely volunteer based. We ran it for almost 3.5 years. And by the time we got to the end, we were fielding over 100 calls a week. We were handling almost 80 call hours per week on demand. And it was brilliant. It was just absolutely wonderful. There were so many people that were able to use this free service, get really good, qualified, secure visual interpreting from volunteers. So, one of the things that I really thought about was what are the major differences between Be My Eyes and Aira, and how can we make them, somewhere in the middle, have some happy medium? Because for those of you who don't know or have not used any of these services, either of these services, Be My Eyes is a service that allows you to connect through an app. The person on the other end of the call will be a volunteer. They've just simply signed up to say they want to provide assistance to blind folks. And they'll be able to see whatever you point your rear-facing camera on your phone at, and they'll provide you assistance with very simple things like reading text, maybe identifying colors, helping you find dropped or lost objects. Things of that nature. But one of the things that's of concern for folks that use the service is that these volunteers are not background checked and they receive only minimal training, basically just enough on how to use the app itself, a couple of little pointers, and away you go. Go help blind people. So on the far opposite side of that spectrum, we have Aira, And they both came out about the same time, about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago. And so Ira's model is significantly different. It's a paid subscription model. You purchase a set of minutes. When you call in, it activates your timer. And over the years, that price has, continued to increase over time. And a lot of folks I've heard personally kind of complaining and saying, hey, look, it's just not something that is affordable these days. It's something that's more of a luxury. And, it's really difficult because there's a lot of things I don't want to trust, volunteers to do. We need to have something in the middle. Now, last year, about this time, my organization, MABV, we were going through a significant funding shortage. We had lost a
I'll be
significant
back.
contract. We had lost a significant contract. And unfortunately, my position and the program that I was coordinating were both on the chopping block. And so I went last year to the conventions down in Jacksonville and Orlando. And I spoke with a lot of the folks that were using our service, folks, some of the folks who I had known from my, time back at IRA, some folks that I just met through MABV. And we had some candid conversations about, what can we do? This is a significant program that people have gotten used to using. And it's a shame that it's going to be going away. What can we do to, maybe cobble something together to save it, at least some semblance of what it was that we were doing. And folks turned to me and they said, hey, look, what if you just kind of ran your own business? I would gladly pay you to be my visual interpreter. I said, whoa, 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 I don't know anything about running a business. It just, I had never thought that that would be something that, would fall into my lap. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized it wasn't about being, somebody who had experience with business. It was about being somebody who had experience with working with blind folks, being a visual interpreter, and having not only that, but also training in accessibility. And so I made the tough decision when I came back. They did offer me to stay on board just in a different position that was, not in any way, shape, or form what I had signed on for. They also indicated that we were going to have to, mothball our Be My Eyes program. And those were the things that were, of importance to me. I saw the value in what we were doing there, and I said, you know what, I think we can continue this, out on our own. So as of last August, August 1st, Visual Eyes Access, we got our business license, we got our insurance, and we slowly started building a base of individuals who are using this service for all of the same things that you would use Ira or Be My Eyes for. And it's interesting because I still find, even as I go to these events and talk to folks in the blindness space, there are still folks that have not used a visual interpreter service before. And at the end, I'll kind of share about the trial that I have that I offer for folks. It's a significant discount compared to what the regular rates are, just because, I'd like to invite people to just come give it a try. See if it's for you. See if it's something that you find beneficial. See if it's something that adds value to, what it is that you need to accomplish. Let's go back though, because I do want to talk about a couple of other things that we do. So one of the other things that we do is we do web accessibility consulting. So we primarily focus on small businesses and nonprofits. We're not going after any of the big boys, because what we find is we find that with small businesses, they are so heavily dependent on their loyal clientele that oftentimes they are forgetful of that their digital presence needs to be accessible because they don't know what that means. They've never heard about it. No one's ever approached them about it. And we have a feeling that if you approach really heavy-handed, you're not going to get a good positive result. So what we've done is we've taken upon ourselves to allow people to kind of self-report, hey, I've got this business that I would like to frequent, but when I go to their site, the cart,
Damn
I
it.
can get into the cart and then I can't actually cash out. There's something that's creating a problem, something that causes an accessibility barrier for me, and they don't know it. I don't know how to get around it. And here's the thing, oftentimes you can use my service, to do that because I can remote into your computer. I can make sure that we understand what's causing the problem. I can share with you what's causing the problem and then fix it on the fly. But we need to go beyond that. It's more than just that band-aid of, oh, cool, I got this one order purchased. It's also about reaching out to that business owner to let them know you've got folks that you're unintentionally excluding. As a small business owner, I know that that's just not something that you can afford to do. We know that if people are out there in digital spaces, it's because
Awesome,
they're make
awesome. That's
looking to
great.
make
And it's
purchases,
funny
right?
because I was thinking of emailing you.
When we
What was that
approach
exact
businesses,
question?
we oftentimes are able to do it in a
That's a
friendlier manner, a way that's a little bit more
scare factor.
consultative, and we're also going to come with
When you get something like
a
this,
price tag that's
how
probably going to be a little bit better, a little bit easier for them to handle. We know that a lot of times these big, heavy accessibility audits are going to run you upwards of $10,000. Well, what if you approach a small business and say, hey, fix your stuff, it's going to cost you 10,000. Yeah, they're not going to do that. So if we approach them and say, hey, look, you don't need to spend $10,000, but let's at least coach you on the things that are missing, the things that you need to be aware of, and then give you some tools on how to start implementing the fixes slowly, one at a time. We're not here to raise our voices. We're not here to shake angry fists at you. We're here to coach you, to guide you, and hopefully get you to a point where you understand the concept of accessibility so that you can be more inclusive of the folks that want to purchase your products and your services. We find that that's actually a really good way to approach. It's coming from a business mindset, right? You want to talk about return on investment. When they're unintentionally excluding people like you who want to go buy their products and services, they're missing out on those dollars, right? The other thing that we do is we do build websites. We work in WordPress. I don't specifically handle that. I have a partner who does that work. So I actually have two organizations right now out in California that are looking at using us for their services. We're just at the beginning stages, doing some discovering with them. But we should be able to share out that information on the website once those sites are built and remedied. We're actually looking at bringing a site up. It's using a real outdated programming language, and we're gonna get them up on WordPress. But
Awesome.
let's talk about the visual interpreter. I call it Visual Interpreter Pro, because that way I can call it the VIP service. So probably the first thing everybody wants to know is, well, what does it cost, right? So my basic rate is starts at $1 per minute. You can have a subscription plan, or you can just pay as you go. I'm super flexible as far as that goes. The other thing too is as you build a bigger plan, or if you pay on a quarterly or an annual basis, those are ways that you can save a significant amount. I actually have a person who pays quarterly, and she has a rather large plan because she does a lot of navigation. We've got her plan down to just 50 cents per minute. So it's affordable. It allows her to get that consistent experience of one individual working with her.
One.
We do a lot of practice on intersections. We do a lot of practice on navigating and learning correct routes. There's definitely some places that she wants to go that there's multiple different ways that she could go depending on if she wants to travel up the sidewalk, if she wants to travel in front of the business fronts. The main goal is that I'm listening to what it is that she wants to do. She wants to make sure that she's avoiding as many intersection crossings as possible. She doesn't want to have to deal with any sort of strange angles as far as, hey, it's not a straight, cross here, angle slightly to the left, or things like that. So we've been spending that time getting her prepared so that over the summer she can navigate her way down to the beach on her own. She did front load quite a bit of time in these first few months. I actually met her at the NFB convention just a little over a month ago. And we'll get her ready so that she can navigate independently. And I know that over the course of time, she's going to be, using fewer minutes with me. But that's what it's all about. It's about providing this person the ability to learn their environment so that they can be more independent. And so I think I take a little bit of a different approach when I work with folks. It's only myself. I don't have a whole team with me. I will talk a little bit about that in a second, though, because we are expanding, and this is a good thing. So the other thing is like, what kind of tasks can you do, right? So I connect with people using WhatsApp primarily because it is end-to-end encrypted. And for any of you who are familiar with those Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, you know that you can connect to WhatsApp on a video call. And that way, you've got hands-free. Your face is almost always going to be facing in the direction of travel. So you don't have to worry about holding your phone correctly and making sure that it's not tilted, slightly to the left or right or up or down. The other thing is we're hoping that in the next few months, we're actually going to be able to announce that we have our own standalone app. We're not there yet. I'm hoping it's going to be ready before those summer national conventions, but we're still working on that. So anything that you can envision yourself doing with Ira, with Be My Eyes, you can do with myself. You can do. I do have some folks that are working for me because we're ramping up. We've been asked to provide services for a pilot project that's taking place in a major US city. Can't say which one just yet, simply because we've got a non-disclosure agreement, but we should be able to announce that in the coming months. And we'll be running that program. We'll be running their visual interpreter program until probably about the beginning of December. So that's going to be a big win for us. And of course, since we're going to have higher volume with those added calls, we're bringing on some new folks. The really neat thing about all that, though, is that I've got some folks who used to volunteer for our specialized help program when I was at Be My Eyes and through MABVE, and they're actually coming on board and they're starting to get additional training so that they can learn how to do navigation and start doing some more complex tasks. So that's super exciting. And then the other thing that I wanted to share too is we have a web store. One of the things that I asked a bunch of our guide dog users said, hey, look, do you have anyone in particular that you go to for your supplies? I have a dog myself. I know that on a monthly basis, I need to be refreshing those treats, replacing those chewed up toys. Occasionally needing some of those bigger things like, a dog bed or, a leash or whatever. I mean, there's always like a never-ending supply of things that you need for your dogs, right? And, folks said, not really. So we said, hey, well, what if we sold stuff through our through a web store, and then not only could get your supplies for your dog, but we'll reimburse you some of that through the form of visual interpreter minutes. And because one of the things that I found is that supplies for your dogs are a necessity. And unfortunately, having a little extra money left over for visual interpreter minutes is more of a luxury. And so why can't we combine those two things? Why can't we find a way to accommodate both? So for folks that are buying their supplies through our store, we're going to give 10% back in the form of visual interpreter minutes. So that means if you come and you buy $100 worth of supplies, you're going to get 10 minutes added to your account. Now it doesn't sound like that's much, and it's really not, right? But here's the thing. If you've got friends, family, coworkers, colleagues, etc., and you let them know, hey, if you want to help me out, here's a service that I can, get through you purchasing your dog supplies through this site. And they can then make sure that they donate their minutes to you, and you could potentially have almost a never-ending supply of free minutes. So we're trying to get creative. We're trying to find ways to provide an alternative to what currently exists, something that is both high quality and consistent, but also something that's affordable. I think we're doing a good job. And one of the other things that recently we were asked to participate in, and this has been an incredible honor for us, I was approached personally by the University of California, Irvine, and they have a research project that's going on right now, and they're looking at how does human interpretation of visuals differ from AI interpretation of visuals. And so they actually sent us 600 images that we captioned and provided visual descriptions of. And they're actually going to be using those in their research to compare against AI generated descriptions. And these were not ideal images. These were images that were blurry, that were in low light, that were upside down, that were cropped. So it was tough. It was challenging. But it'll be interesting to see. And you've got that local connection there with UC Irvine. In the past, I've also participated in a couple of research projects, one at Penn State University and also another one at Georgia Tech. So it's really quite neat to see that the academic community is looking at visual interpreting and they're looking at it as, hey, how can we take this skill, this ability, and combine it with technology and somehow make improvements? What improves what? Is it the human element improves the technology? Or that does the technology improve the human element, or is it some kind of happy medium in between? So there's some really fascinating stuff that's going on these days in the world of visual interpreting. I don't know how much Be My Eyes or Aira really gets into the academic side of it. I've been absolutely floored and honored that I've been approached by these different universities to participate. So hopefully those are things that continue. Hopefully we continue to look at the intersection of, human interaction with technology so we can provide an even better, higher quality experience for everybody and hopefully continue to what I think should be happening with the increased use of technology is that we're lowering the cost for people. I don't know how that goes, but I know that at Visualize Access is something that we're continuing to look at. How can we create different opportunities, ways for people to be able to afford the service, ways for people to take this service and really, put it through the ringer? Like, do what you can to try and break it. Put whatever test you want to out in front of us, and let's see if we can get it done for you. We actually had somebody recently at Northridge, works at the Parks and Recs department there, blind person, guide dog user, So one of the things that he consistently has is he gets these PDF flyers for his programs, and they're not accessible, which I don't understand because if they're making the PDFs from scratch, they have an accessible version at some point, and then they have a finished product that is not accessible. I digress. I don't know what's going on there, but he started sending them to me and said, "Hey, look, what can you do? How can we make this happen?" And I got to be honest, the first few that we went through, they were taking probably close to 2 hours for me to be able to convert them into a usable format and then go through, double check everything, add headings, make sure that the structure was proper. And it wasn't working. It wasn't working for what he needed, and it really wasn't working for us either. It was just a not trying to say it was a big waste of time, but it wasn't efficient and what we were both kind of expecting we could make this turn into. Well, together we kind of tweaked the process using AI, and I was able to eventually get to a point where we now have it down where we can take a PDF that's inaccessible, and we can actually the last one that he sent me, I was able to turn it back around to him in 10 minutes. It wasn't an exact remediation. I don't have that sort of software. It's super expensive, thousands of dollars. But what it was is it was a very good, accurate summary of the content that was in the PDF. So as far as accessibility goes, it was provided to him in a way that he could access. And as far as the content went, it was kind of like a good enough scenario. And especially since we were able to do it for him in just 10 minutes. So there's some really cool things that you can do with my Visual Interpreter Pro service. I do run a 30-minute trial, typically for $20. But if any of you are interested, you can let me know that you attended this session, and we'll give you a 50% discount. And so you'll be able to get that 30-minute trial for $10. One of the other things about minutes is that they don't expire. I don't have any sort of a deadline that you need to use your minutes by. So if you get the 30-minute trial and you sit on it for 2 years, that's fine. Whenever you're ready to use your minutes, you use your minutes. If you're on a subscription plan with me and the end of your billing cycle comes, You don't have to worry about jamming through the rest of those minutes and burning them down because, oh, I'm going to lose them. That was one of the things that I just didn't understand when I was at Ira. And I had so many of my blind friends tell me, we don't understand why they do it this way. And it's kind of feels unfair. We're paying for something and then they're taking it away from us. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. And I remember years ago telling people, hey, well, when I run my own business, I'll let you have your minutes for a loop. And I was just joking. And here I am, doing the exact same thing. So your minutes roll over. If you get to a point where you have so many minutes that you just need to, pause your plan, I don't need you to buy more minutes of minutes that you already have. So yeah, you just need to reach out, let me know. It's one of the great things about being a small business. We have that agility that we're able to, really respond and make it a personalized experience for each of our users. I am going to take a breath because I've been talking for the last 25 minutes. Most of you are on mute, but if you want to come off mute, I do see that there's a hand raised, phone number that ends in 342. Happy to field some questions. Oh, 342, you just put yourself back onto mute. You are off
Oh,
mute
here we
now.
go. I am. I'm Nancy Unger, and I have Ira in my eyes. Could you go over the minutes, how much per minute again? I don't think I caught that for some reason. And also, do you deal with sensitive financial information if someone wants to have someone help them send, sign something online or look at something with the banking or, regard to credit cards, stuff like that? Can you handle that too?
Yeah,
Audit or
absolutely.
anything like that?
Yep, absolutely. So that's all handled through the business insurance. I don't have any other interpreters right now that are doing that sort of work. They will eventually, but currently I am the only person that handles those sort of requests. The other thing about that is I do have a privacy policy that is on the website, so you can go and check it out. I can't rattle off everything, but this is all covered. The confidentiality, the privacy concerns, those are all handled through the business insurance. I am a big fan of I do not save information that does not want to be saved. It just, there's no reason for me to do that. So I do have some people who have said, no, it's actually faster for me for you to keep this information so you keep it secure. Okay, I'll do that. This is one of those things where we're going to default to whatever the user is going to be the most comfortable with, right? But as far as being covered, as far as bonded, things like that, yeah, that's all covered by the business insurance. We actually had the situation recently where I had a user who, again, I had known them back in my IRA days, and they said, hey, you know what? I always have my taxes done through this local CPA, but he sends me this PDF that I have to fill out. It's a form and it's not fillable. So I have to figure out a way how to fill it out with someone. And I always use Ira and it always takes forever. She's like, can you do that with me? Yeah, absolutely. We literally remoted in, handled a lot of that stuff in the dashboard for her CPA. And then the stuff that we needed to fill out manually, we did that. And then we were able to get her taken care of. And by the end of it, she goes, even though we took multiple sessions, that took about half the time it normally takes when I use an IRA agent. And I definitely spent way less with you than with an IRA agent. And the other thing that's really nice about all this is the consistency of getting the same person every single time. Like she didn't have to, like with each new person, explain the process and them get brought up to speed. And oh, I've never done taxes before. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm an old man. I just turned 50 a couple months ago. So I've been doing my own taxes for years. But there's not a whole lot of experiences that you're going to put me into that I haven't seen either as an IRA agent, somebody who coordinated to be my eyes program for 3.5 years, or even just the time that I spend with blind folks in person. I've got a lot of blind friends, and it's important to me that I'm doing things that are accessible for them and making sure that everything that I'm doing is with that idea of inclusion behind it, right? I don't know if that exactly answered your question.
It does, but what do you charge per minute? I didn't quite get that as well.
That's right. You
Are
asked
you
about the
using?
rates. The rates start
Yes.
at $1 per minute, and there's two different ways that you can go about kind of paying. One is we have a conversation. We talk about what makes sense for you on a subscription plan, either monthly, quarterly, annually. And if you buy a bigger package of minutes, then your rate will go down a bit, like your per minute rate will go down a bit. The bigger savings are by paying on a quarterly basis or an annual basis. Quarterly plans typically are between 15 and 35% less than your monthly plans. And annual plans can be, 50% on the biggest ones. And then the other thing too is
Wow.
if you don't want to have a subscription because you're like, I don't know how much I would actually use it, that's fine. You can just do what's called pay as you go. You set up a time that we're going to handle your request. We get connected, we get you taken care of. End of the call comes, it's 20 minutes. I just reach back out to you and say, hey, it was 20 minutes. I'm going to send you an invoice for $20. Once you pay your invoice, you're good to go for your next one. It's that simple. No need to complicate it.
It sounds fascinating. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not a problem. And don't forget, I do offer a 30-minute trial because I want people to kick the tires. If you connect with me and you realize this guy is an idiot, he doesn't know what he's doing, I don't ever want to work with him again. I don't want you to I don't want you to feel obligated to. You can finish out those 30 minutes, we'll do something else, and you'll be on your way. But if you did like it, at least you got a chance to kind of get a taste before you commit to anything, right? I definitely want people to have a chance to see if it just see if it makes sense. It's a small business, so I'm definitely going to be running things a little bit differently than what maybe folks are familiar with. But I think if you do, you'll find that it's a good thing. I got more hands popping up, so I hope it's okay if I'm calling on people. But Steve, I saw yours first. Go ahead, you are off mute right now.
Oh, thank you. You
Okay.
mentioned using WhatsApp and the Be My Eyes glasses. Is it possible with your service to use the phone instead of the glasses?
Correct. And most people are using the phone still, because again, those Be My Eyes glasses, they're a little bit more affordable than, your old Envisions or other options, but yet, there's still a few hundred dollars and not everybody can
Well,
afford
and the big
those.
thing
So,
is the glasses don't have the resolution that most iPhones have.
And I actually we realized this during a significant intersection crossing I was working on with this woman. And I have a little bit of O&M background as well. So this is what really makes the navigation experience just different. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can teach it, yeah, you can learn it when you start with Ira, but it really took me probably a few months of handling calls before I ever got comfortable. And I'm at a point now where I've handled so many navigation calls that it almost becomes second nature. But we were at an 8-lane intersection crossing, 4 lanes in one direction, 3 lanes in the other, plus the turn lane. And I just realized, I said, I'm really sorry. I know you're excited to use your glasses today, because she literally just went and got glasses. And I said, I can't see the crosswalk sign on the opposite side of the street. I can see the traffic control, the traffic signal, but I can't see the crosswalk signal. And so she switched it out and she said, okay, I want you to be getting good information from me. So I'll use my phone. Is that better? And I said, yeah, absolutely it is. So we now know when we get to that intersection, she changes out and she turns off her glasses and she uses her phone because it gives me a better view of the information I need to be providing to her. And we know it's a safer situation that way. So, yep. Robert, I see your hand up
I
and you
think
are
I'm
off mute.
unmuted, correct?
You are correct.
Young man, what is your name? My name's Bob. What is your name?
My name is Sean Welker.
Sean. Yeah, I should have read the thing. Great presentation. Two things. Could you give your website? That's one. And secondly, or contact, I'm sure you will. I'm stick it out till we get contact. And then WhatsApp. Now I'm a low tech guy. I'm on WhatsApp. I got two people on it. Do you train using WhatsApp?
I can give some coaching. Yep, absolutely. So
I'm
one of the
sorry, say that
things
again. My jaws was talking at me, told me to lower my head.
I heard that. No, I absolutely can provide some coaching. That's not a problem. And in fact, it recently I had an experience where one of my Michigan guys was having some problems with his glasses, with his Ray-Ban Metasmart
I
glasses. They
just
weren't
use the
connected.
phone, okay, but go ahead.
Okay, right. I'm just giving you
Okay, I'm
an
sorry.
example here of my experience with
Okay.
providing coaching on access technology. The great thing is I was taking my daughter to a college visitation, and he was going to be right along the way. So we stopped in and visited with him, and he had both his old Envision glasses and also those Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. And he had somehow gotten himself disconnected from his network and could not get either one of them to pair again. And so I said, it's going to be a lot easier for me to just work with you in person. These are kind of tricky things to do remotely. So I sat down with him, spent about 45 minutes tinkering around with both sets of those glasses. By the time I left, I got a good handshake and a hug from him, and both sets of his glasses were then paired up. So as far as the technology goes, if you're low tech, if you just need, a little coaching on apps, if you need a little bit of coaching on, voiceover or whatever, JAWS is not really my friend. It's a little bit complex, and I'm not a super user. I just have the ability to every now and then do those 40 minutes at a time if I'm doing some testing. But yeah, I'm certainly happy to walk people through. I learned very quickly that it was swipe right 4 times until you hear the camera button, so that you can, reverse it to the opposite side. So yeah, we'll get you to where you need to be.
And you will give your website eventually, right? The Earl.
Yeah, I think I've got a total of 1 hour and 15. I think that's what I was told. So I
Okay.
can throw that in at the end. I'll do it right now though, because you asked for it. So again, the business name is Visual Eyes Access, and it's visual and then EYES. And it's a capital E so that it's camel case, and so it will read properly. Visualizeaccess.com. My email is going to be Shawn, Shawn, at visualizeaccess.com. And then the phone number, which is going to be okay to text, it's also going to be okay to message through WhatsApp, 517 630 1420. I'll say that one more time here. 517-630-1420. And
Got
then
it.
the other
Thank
thing
you.
too is when you go to the website, there is an option there to sign up for our newsletter. I try to only send stuff out once a month, usually at the beginning of the month. We've got one that's jam-packed that's going to be coming out in a couple days here. So get signed up for that newsletter. Follow along with all of the things that are happening with us. That's one of the exciting things about being new here, right? Is that almost every month it's like we're increasing incrementally, or exponentially, as far as all the things that are new and the things that we're having opportunities to do. So, all right, thanks for the question
Thank
there,
you.
Robert. Catherine, if you want to come off mute, or Deborah. Oh, Catherine just came off mute.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I really enjoyed your presentation. I'm very excited. I am both an IRA and a Be My Eyes user, and have been an IRA user since 2017. And I remember the glasses that were available back then.
The old horizons, yep.
Yes. And I use the blind shell phone, and I also have a Pixel 6 Pro Android phone. Well, I had to load the app on the Pixel to be able to use that phone, or Be My Eyes. I mean, the blind shell phone has the only proprietary app. Is there a way that you can contact them in Czechoslovakia and say how wonderful your service is, and maybe get them to put your app on their phone? Is that a
So
possibility? And then.
I'm actually going to take a note for myself because I hadn't even thought about the blind shell, but yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, thank you very much. And then my other question is, I pay all my bills using speech and my credit card. You talked about paying for your service, and after you paid, then you could use the service again. Will we be able to use our credit card? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I use Stripe as my payment processor. I consulted another business owner who is blind, and I asked them very specifically. I said, "Hey, I need to have a payment processor. Which would you recommend that is the most accessible?" They recommended Stripe. I did some of my own accessibility testing and felt that, yep, Stripe is good. I have processed, I don't know, maybe a little over 100 transactions, and I have only had one person complain, saying that they had an issue with navigating the payment system. And then later they reached out and told me it wasn't the payment system, it was them. They were doing something wrong, and that's what was causing the problem for them. So nice and accessible, easy to navigate the payment system. If you use Apple Pay and you open up the invoice on an Apple device, whether it's your MacBook or your iPhone, you're going to be able to use Apple Pay. I don't recall off the top of my head all of the different options, but yeah, major credit cards, debit, link. So should be something in there that's gonna work out for you.
Okay, and you have options for Android users. I'm an
So I mean,
Android user.
it's just through WhatsApp, so you would just need to download WhatsApp to your Android.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for a wonderful presentation, and I have a feeling I've heard your voice before that maybe we work together at IRA, because you sound very familiar to me. Thank you very
I
much.
wouldn't be surprised. There are people that will come out of the woodworks at these conventions that I attend, and they will come up to me and they're like, "You probably don't remember me, but you were my age." I had one, the most absolute wonderful one was this older gentleman came up and he's like, "You probably don't know who I am, but you helped me to assemble a Lego set, and we spent hours on it." And he's like, "You were so patient and so good at the descriptions, and it was just such a pleasure to be able to use my minutes and do something that brought me so much joy." And I was like, "Hey, that's what it's all about, right?" All
Oh,
right,
yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. Deborah, I see your hand raised patiently, and you are off mute
Hello
right now.
there. You should be able to hear me.
Correct.
Okay. Before I ask my question, I want everyone to know that I just copied all of your information to our CCBL list, and the subject line says our presenter's contact information. So if people are struggling to write it down, I've gone ahead and posted it. Okay. Now my question to you. So what forms of payment do you take? Do you take PayPal, Apple Pay? What are the ways that I could pay you?
So I definitely can get creative if people need me to, but like I said, I do use Stripe as my payment processor. So what happens is you'll get invoiced, you'll get emailed an invoice, and when you open the invoice, it will be very accessible. You'll be able to read everything that's there, and there'll be a link that will take you to the payments page. And then when you get there, you're gonna have all sorts of options.
All
Basically,
right.
all of your major credit cards, link. I think there is an option for PayPal.
But
I
I'm not going to
don't.
get a paper invoice. I have to
Nope.
yet call you again to deal with it.
Nope, it'll be digital, and so you should be able to access it, no problem. Like I said, I'm looking at it right now. I've literally sent out 138 invoices. I've had one person who kind of mentioned that they had a hard time with it. And then the next time I spoke to him, he said, "Hey, disregard that. It wasn't your invoice. It was me. I was doing it wrong." So,
No problem. Thank you.
no.
I'm back on mute.
Thanks, Deborah. Any other questions? Well, I tell you what, I know we still have some time left here. I don't know.
Alexa, what time is it? It's 2:14 p.m.
Not much.
I can hear it, yeah.
I'm trying to think if I have any fun stories to share with any of y'all about some of the things
Unfortunately,
I've been.
no.
So I know one of the big things I've been folks have been using the service for are airport navigations. That tends to be one of the trickier things. Well, and actually, remember how I had talked about getting involved in a couple of academic projects? That was actually the project that I advised for the group out of Georgia Tech. And they actually created their own business called Seeker. There's no last E in there for some reason, but unfortunately, they just couldn't get it off the ground, and they ended up having to go their own separate ways. Just some young kids, graduate students. But what they did is they had reached out to me because one of their friends was one of my volunteers, and so we talked about, they said, "Hey, look, we're looking at how can we leverage technology to provide something that would be beneficial for the disability community, and we're thinking that we want to work specifically with folks who are blind." And I said, "Well, what are some of the things that are significant, issues that you think could be corrected using technology?" And I gave it some thought, and I said, "You know what? One of the biggest pain points has been airport navigation." And so we talked about it, and we talked about different things that could be done. And so what they came up with is they came up with this idea of wearing a wearable device, and it was kind of like a sling style backpack, except it was going to be worn over the front, and then that would contain all of the electronics, and then they were going to provide a grid mapping system throughout the airports. And so basically it would be able to triangulate from the different beacons, and it would be able to tell where you were within about 5 feet. And then the other thing that it would do is it would give you a directory of different landmarks, so you could go through the directory, listen to it independently. You could get the audible, "Hey, I want to go to Starbucks on, in Terminal One," and it would tell you which direction you had to go, and not just tell you, but it would also give you turn by turn instructions. It would give you haptics, and it would also give you feedback audibly to let you know, like, directions as far as like, if you were not going like right down the center of the corridor, hey, it would be off to the right or off to the left. And it was pretty impressive. They actually participated in a graduate level academic competition between 4 different states, and
Hey
there
Sean,
were.
I hate to interrupt here for a little bit, but whoever is unmuted, if you could please mute, we would appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, there's just a little bit of background noise going on there. But there was 4 different states, schools from 4 different states, and there was, I think, about 110 different groups, and they ended up tying for first, which allowed them to end up receiving some seed money, and they won some other stuff, and so they went at it for about a year, and unfortunately they just weren't able to get off the ground. And then the other project that I had participated in with Penn State University, they were looking at doing augmented reality with the addition of two agents. Now, this was something that I was absolutely fascinated by, and I basically advised from the very beginning, like when they first contacted me, I did not like the idea of having two agents. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm on a call with somebody that I'm providing assistance to, if I had a third voice that was going on, it would be, no good. Anyways, they actually ran sessions with blind individuals asking assistance for certain tasks, and then they had two agents connected, trying to provide. Now, typically, one would be the lead, and the other one would hold back, and then just kind of add a little bit here and there when needed. But it didn't, to me, seem like it was something that was all that beneficial. But the cool thing about what they were doing, though, was the augmented reality. So let's say you're going through a building. Now, I know that there's all of these different mapping products. Good Maps is probably the best out there. And so what they're doing is they're taking this idea of, hey, if we go through and we kind of pre-record sessions walking through these indoor locations, we can then somehow sync that up to when somebody calls to a live feed. And now, if the agent or if the user has a poor connection, we could leverage the augmented reality portion of it so that they could literally have both kind of going on at the same time. And I don't know where they're at with that. It sounded way incredibly complex. And honestly, I don't know if it's even something that could be done. It felt like there was too many variables and it was too complex. But that was the other project that I was asked to participate in, and fascinating stuff that's going on out there. Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna let everyone know. Hey, I hope to hear from you, right? So you got my contact information. Let me know that you heard the presentation at the California Council of the Wine State Convention. I'll get you 50% off on that trial, so you'll get 30 minutes with me for $10. You don't have to use all 30 minutes at once. You can break it up. You can use it all at once if you want to. Put me through the ringer. Try and stump me. Give me something that you think I'm not going to be able to do. It'll be fun. And then don't forget. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I did. There was a survey I took a month or two ago all about what you would want spoken in an airport, or what landmarks you were.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the same people you're working with or that you heard about. But
I don't think so. So I know, so there's the other players on the block right now, and I don't know much about them. I try not to cross paths with them too much, not because I don't think that they're, not that I have any issue with them per se. It's just they're using AI primarily, right? And it's Ajija, which I was always pronouncing Agiga, because it looks like it should be pronounced Agiga. But those are the glasses. I think they're called the Echo Visions. And I believe they are using only AI. But I think they're kind of promoting them as you can use these in to kind of navigate yourself around. You're not going to get those live turn-by-turn instructions or things like that. But you kind of have a conversational, what's in front of me? Where is the Starbucks? How do I get to it from here? And again, I'm not here to promote other products, but I think that may be what that was going on. I know that they've done a lot to engage with the blindness community. I've actually received surveys from them myself, so that may have been who that was. I've got the 342 number with their hand up, and you're on mute right now. Now you're off mute.
Hi, it'll be quick. It's almost time to. Would you consider, I mean, I wear hearing aids, I'm Nancy Younger, and I the ARX headset or glasses with Bluetooth, which one can pair with one's hearing aids or things like that, not just a couple of things that Myra does. Thank you. Whatever uses, I mean, thank you.
Yeah, so I have to be honest, I don't have a ton of experience with hearing aids per se. And so my assumption here is that you would be using your phone to provide the video feed, and then you just need to have that Bluetooth connection to your hearing aids, right?
I have that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Like,
so that
if I hands free on without the phone, if I could have ARX, I don't know who sells it, but they have a headset where you can just use that and not have to worry about the phone if you don't want to. Thank you.
Right. And I tell you what, the I'm pretty sure because the Ray-Bans, those have the open ear technology, right? So even though the speaker would be external, it would still get picked up by your hearing aids. So that would be an option for you. I don't know much about the ARCs. Haven't heard anything about those, to be honest. I don't want to give any misleading information. That would be horrible to come to present how knowledgeable I am and then all of a sudden give you all bad information. let's not do that.
Oh, okay. You'll figure it out, but thank you very much. Thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, no,
for
you're welcome.
Me. Thank you.
I mean, I could talk access technology and accessibility all day long. So.
So, Sean.
Yes.
Tell us about the most interesting calls that you've had either as an IRA agent or as, in this new visualized access.
So one of my favorite is I have a friend who is a big Disney fan, and they actually took me with them to Disney with herself and I think it was three or four friends. So we've got three or four blind girls all walking around Disney together, some with canes, some with dogs. And I'd never been. And some of the overhead maps that are provided by Google just were not current, and we definitely got ourselves into a few situations where I'm like, I don't know where you're walking right now. I don't see anything on the map. So, but that wasn't the most fun part. The most fun part was my friend who's the big Disney fan. She got on the ride that it's like those old cars that you can ride, and it's just on a rail, so like anybody can ride, drive them, right? It just goes in one, path, winding through the trail. But she had her camera on, and I was guiding her while she was driving. So that was kind of fun. The other one that I love sharing this one because, like, blind people have the absolute best senses of humor, and I love that. Like, a lot of times when I go to these conventions, I will spend time with the folks down in the hotel lobby bar afterwards, just because that's where the real conversations take place. And I'm not wearing my I'm a business owner hat. I'm not wearing my I'm a visual. I'm just sitting and sharing space with other like-minded folks, and it's great. But one time somebody called in, and this actually was when I was with Ira, and I can tell when the call engages, they're sitting in the driver's seat of a car, and I was like, well, this is weird. And they literally took the keys, put them in the ignition, and they fired up the car, and they go, how do I put this into drive? And I was like, no. And the funny thing is this person started getting really mad at me, and I kind of thought that they were joking at first. I was like, our terms and conditions state that we cannot allow, we cannot provide assistance to anybody that's operating machinery. I'm pretty sure a car constitutes as machinery. And they just went off, and I need to talk to your manager. And finally they start laughing, and they're like, hey, my friends are in the mall. I didn't want to hang out anymore, so I figured I'd come out to the car and screw around with one of the IRA agents. Just happened to
That's the
be.
story I was
So
hoping you would tell.
it was a good one. So yeah, I mean, and I don't even remember if I ever had any other calls with that person, but that was definitely one of the most memorable calls I had. I did have one guy who did get upset because I wouldn't help him mow his lawn. I remember that. That was, it's still machinery. Well, I tell you what, I am happy to hang out. We still have a little over 15 minutes if anybody else has any other questions
Alexa, what
or.
time is it?
Sean, I do thank you for coming out on behalf of
Alexa,
the
what
convention
time
planning
is
team
it?
and
The time is 2:28 p.m.
the board of directors of CCB. Just thank you so much for your presentation. It's been fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I wasn't sure how things were working this year with still being remote, and then when I had a chance to meet with Guillermo and Sarah out in Anaheim, and they informed me, well, there's really only going to be a couple of groups that we're asking to present, so that was big honor. So definitely appreciate it. Let's stay in touch, everyone. Come find me. I'll help you do some stuff, and hopefully it'll be a good relationship. And I'd love to come back sometime too.